What is up, fellow humans and mutants alike? My name is Kyle. I'm with Danny. We are once again trekking along, finishing up this arc, this six-issue arc of Dawn of X, finally, almost there. One more issue until we finish this arc. But we are finishing up New Mutants today, and we are going back. You excited for that space adventure, Danny?
I'm excited for that space adventure. I'm always excited for that space adventure, but unfortunately, I'm not getting that space adventure.
Fortunately, you are not getting that space adventure today, good sir. We are going back to Nebraska. Yes, to the farm. Was it a farm?
It was a farm. So whip out your overalls and your corn husks, because you know that's what people hang on to.
Yeah, and let's watch this garbage fire play out more. And yeah, we'll talk more about the specifics of the garbage fire. But yeah, it's a pretty big garbage fire overall, not just in terms of storytelling, which storytelling isn't great. It's pretty just layer. It's cut and dry. But in terms of like their mission and their execution was just like poorly thought out, and lives were lost because of it. And you're just like, what did you think was going on?
And I mean, that's echoed by like garbage character development. I mean, looking at a lot of these characters in this issue versus the previous issues, and like seeing how like they tried to move them in like a specific direction that didn't really quite land well, you almost feel like you were gypped like good character development for these random individual characters. Right? You think that they're gonna matter more in like a bigger plot, but instead it's all like sideline nonsense that you're just kind of like angry about it not being tied up. You're almost just like, no, just close it off and let's write the book on it. Close it and end this chapter. But they're like, no, it's going to sting. It's going to linger.
Oh, yeah. It's frustrating, unfortunate. And it's, I don't know. If you're going to give me these characters, give me something. Make them something. But no, we got nothing here. We got nothing here for the most part. What positives do we get out of this? We got armor got more, I guess, time on the page, which is cool. I'm always down for more armor.
Unfortunately, she gets no character development.
No character development.
At the end of this issue, it is the exact same armor that it was at the first time she showed up.
Yeah, that sucks.
Her demeanor, her mentality, her mannerisms, they all just lockstep. 100%. I say one upswing out of this right off the bat is that we do eventually get to leave Nebraska.
We get to leave Nebraska, yes. We are done in Nebraska after the end of this.
Not a strong point for a backdrop for an X-Men issue.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at this backdrop, I mean, things aren't looking good at all for anyone.
Yeah, this is definitely a glim and gleb issue cover. I mean, look at the eyes on Glob. I think that eye slant and comedic like approach is kind of how I looked at like a lot of these New Mutant issues. Like when I open it up and I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not in Shiar space anymore. I'm in Nebraska.
You're in Nebraska, good sir. Yeah. So let's dive into this. You ready? You ready for this?
Yeah, let's go get right back into it with Brisson and Flaviano.
Flaviano, yeah.
And kudos to Flaviano, because I think the artwork at points is some of the
parts of this.
The writing pushes you away so easily. The visuals at least keep you like at least intrigued enough to push forward.
Yeah, definitely. Side note, if you want more armor in your life, go check out the X-Men anime to get all that armor goodness.
Or read Astonishing X-Men by Whedon.
Read Astonishing X-Men by Whedon. She also does. She makes a good appearance in that.
And she character develops, so.
She actually has a story, a backline, you know, you get the
lines.
Yeah, exactly.
Because why else use these characters if you're not going to build
them? Yeah.
Maybe they're just throwaways.
Maybe they're just throwaways.
Just looking at you, Beak.
Let's get into this. Tick, tick. discovering that old friend's beacon angel were missing from Krakoa due to Beak's ailing father, Armor Glob and Maxime and Manon traveled to Nebraska. Their Krakoan medicine brought Beak's father back from the brink of death, but before they could celebrate, armed gunmen burst onto the farm, led by Tumulo. The gunmen demanded access to Krakoan drugs and were willing to do anything to get them. Held hostage, the situation looked dire for the new mutants. Then Boomer arrived to even the score. So last we left off, they were kind of being held captive outside, and Boom Boom kind of came in a drunken stupor to help out, right? And that's where we kind of left off.
Yeah, and Maxine and Manon had just gone fucking Kevorkian on those two guys and like put them against each other in like a death battle. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty awesome.
That was one of the things where it kind of felt like they started coming off like the rails in a fun way, like are like being unchained. In like a way that kind of untethered it from its nonsense that was holding it back. And I liked that, but then this was like an about face in this issue that like just walks away from all that.
Yeah.
And almost a crude way too, like a ham-fisted way where you almost feel bad, where you're like, that was fun. And then the issue's like, you shouldn't have liked that.
Yeah, you should feel bad. Yeah. Don't you feel bad now? Oh, you don't feel bad? Well, we're gonna make you feel bad for not feeling bad.
Like, you tricked me into liking it, Brisson. What do you want? Like, I'm trying to appreciate what you're doing.
Damn it, there is no win. This is why no one likes you anymore, Marvel.
Yeah. Oh, let's get to some plot device weaponry now.
Let's get into it. Pilgrim, Nebraska. We see Boom Boom on the scene. Explosion in the background. And Armor's surprise. You know, like, what are you doing here? What's going on? Why are you here?
And Boom Boom doing her best Kitty Pryde impersonation.
Boom Boom doing her best Kitty Pryde, her drunken stupor. Let's go do some drunken shenanigans, rape, pillage, and plunder. It's interesting. I don't know. What do you think of it? What do you think of her character right here?
It feels like she was understudying for Kitty Pryde through this whole arc, and then in the end, they just kind of brush her off. So yeah. I really felt like her character and inclusion was kind of weird. I mean, she's fun, and it kind of has that kind of bravado when like Wolverine would show up and like rescue people. But it just, I don't know, with Boom Boom and this whole use, you wanted more out of her and you didn't get it. So like, just seeing her like this is almost like a fake out. Like it's like, oh, Boom's good stuff, cool. And then they follow it up with the whole plot device about the explosive anti-mutant weaponry. And so like any like. Build up to some heightened conflict between her and them using her powers is like taken off the table. And you're like, oh man. Yeah. Boom Boom should have had better.
Boom Boom should have had better. But we see her here pretty much approaching, just asking questions, more or less setting up, telling more or less the plot, summarizing what happens. Here, telling them that they're just drug dealers from Costa Perdida and whatnot. And then one of the drug dealers just whips out a bazooka. I think it's one of the dampening bazookas, right?
Of course, because using a real bazooka to stop these people is out of the question.
Yeah, you can't use a regular bazooka. You got to use a mutant dampening bazooka. So he's just all like, yeah, let's do it. Bazooka time. And he shoots that. Armor kind of jumps up and grabs Boom Boom out of the way. We get a big kaboom as they dodge the blast. As they're kind of like on the ground, and she's still like kind of telling the plot. It's kind of funny. They're on the ground, almost kind of like shaking from a blast, and she's like, "Oh, they're inside. I think the Beak and Glob and Maxine and Manon are still being held inside. Here's some plot detail." It feels a little weird right here.
It was very forced because it's like it's peppered in between this big galactic conquest that's happening in the other spectrum of the New Mutants story, and they're shoehorning it in again. And they're like, "Oh, by the way, we just want to remind you." It was like, you know, in The Watchmen, when you'd be reading it, and then they cut to the Midnighter or the Moon Knight, the weird, like, Dread Pirate, like, all that stuff. You were just like, I don't care about this. Like, I just want to read The Watchmen. Like, this stuff is interesting in its own, like, right, but putting it here in between the other thing doesn't work, and that's what's happening here. They're trying to pull you up to speed, and it's just so weird. And they're their weird plot device, like explosive mutant dampening weapons, are so confusing. Because I is initially, when I went through this, I was like, okay, she saved her, so Boom Boom still has her powers. She removed her from the blast. Yeah. But apparently, it just going off anywhere remotely close to you, even like if it doesn't hit you, is enough to dampen your powers.
Yeah, it makes no sense to me whatsoever.
How the mutants are fucked. Like, I don't even understand.
Yeah, if that's the case, you should be threatened. You should feel worried.
They could just like put the explosive residue in like airplanes and just crop dust Krakoa, and they're like, let's just go in with boards and nails in them, and we'll take out the mutants. It just seems it's so bad because it doesn't have enough foundation. So when things like this start happening, you start like pulling it apart real quick. You're like, what? How does this really actually work? Because I thought for sure she was okay, but she went on to explain it. And then they cut to the other scene later on where they're fighting, and she's like, yeah, I got to hit people with stuff. We're good at that. We're X-Men. We know how to hit people with things. That's our backup mutant power.
That's funny, but we cut to inside the house, and we cut to Glob, and Glob's just all like, why did you make them shoot each other? And we see them both in the background. That's kind of weird staging, that they're kind of both in the background of the shot. But yeah, it gets the point across. Both are shot pretty much down. It's great. He made Maxim Man last issue made them pretty much. So again, to recap, their powers are
erase your memories.
One could erase and one could create,
Okay. So one wipes your mind, and then the other one could create new memories to supplement the other one. But if they use their powers in conjunction, they essentially can make you do whatever they want. They literally just touch you, and they could turn you into like a drone for them that's set to do whatever they reprogram you to do.
Right.
Yeah. Which is pretty cool, because then they could just go around touching people and be like, you now work for us, which you see later on, which is that. See, once again, their characters were like the coolest part of most of this arc, and they have nothing to do with the New Mutants and any of these Gen X characters or any of this shit. An ironic twist in this whole arc.
Yeah. And so they're just all like, you wanted them to shoot us? What do you want them to do? We tried to help. And he's just all like, yo, man, you should have just made them pretend that they're our friends and they're our allies and they'll help us. Dude, tactical motherfuckers.
He's putting some like really deep philosophical like quandaries on these like kids. And the kids said their approach I liked, because they're just like, hey, man, they either shot us or them. Like, at least they were shooting themselves and not us. And that's like, yeah, they did kind of deal with the situation. But it's funny because Glob's trying to take the moral high ground and like use like something. And he seems like he's having difficulty delivering that. But then a person shows up and he can now physically show them what he's implying and how he means to move forward with like taking out the enemy. He didn't even stop having the conversation while the guy showed up. Like, that part was great. That was really funny. I did like that. It's still weird as fuck.
Yeah, the guy shows up. Glob gets him in like a good headlock, pretty much. You're fucked with Glob. If Glob gets you in a headlock, I think you're fucked.
He throws it down the stairs.
While he's in a headlock, he's still going on the conversation, like you said. He's just like, see? This is how you incapacitate a guy without having to shoot him.
The kids are like, my bad.
Here's a little lesson just thrown in here out of nowhere. This is when we get Glob just all like, as far as I'm concerned, or not Glob, we get a Beak. Beak's kind of climbing up the stairs, and he's just all like, they came in here, they messed with my kids, they kind of deserved it. And he says that he's
mad shit
right as he exits, crack, bam, just shot, bam, he's down.
Such a funny transition. I was like, I love that look on his face too, where he's just so angry and bitter. He's just like, fuck that guy. Look at him fall down the stairs like a bitch, right?
The guy with the deserve. Now it's time for Beak to be serious. I'm about to fuck them. Bam!
Blade Beak out! Damn! That like his back arched, his blood rippled.
Yeah.
It's
a rough one.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like that transition. Then they cut back to the front, because like once the issue starts to get good, it usually cuts away anyways. Just like, wait, wait. Let's cut back to these inept fucking mercenaries.
Yeah, and this is when we get the main guy go pretty much just like, yeah, you go deal with them. I'm gonna go inside, pretty much.
Just pop off in there.
Yeah, he's gonna go find out what's going on. The other people go and assault Boom Boom and Armor, and that's when they notice like the blonde ones. The blonde one's drunk. This should be easy.
They don't know that she spent the last 10 years of her life training under Jackie Chan. Oh man.
And then as the leader kind of goes in, he's kind of talking to the people, to his men. He's like, get your asses outside. And then he stops and he looks at the abomination that is Angel Salvador just vomiting on someone with their acid vomit. And you're just like, well, that's disgusting. And then we get a Maxim Manum in the background just going, friends, friends, friends. So they're learning.
See, like, this was the cool shit that I wanted them to keep on. Instead, they were like cutting to the front where nothing was really going down anyways. And he's just like, look at the pain that guy in the couch is in. And that poor recliner. That thing's ruined.
Recliner, that's fucked. No amount of bleach or club sodas getting that out.
Yeah, that was a solid panel. I like that cutback.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And we get a Glob in the background kind of aiding Beak, and that's where it kind of picks up with Glob kind of looking over Beak, pretty fucked. And he's just like, please make sure my kids get out of here.
This is weird, though, because he knows he'll be resurrected, so I don't know.
Does he know?
They told him when they showed up. They gave him the rundown about Krakoa. They gave him the whole spiel and everything. So, I don't... This is weird. I mean, yeah. I'd be like... I would have fun with it if I was Beak. I'd break this, like, fourth wall and be like, hey, man, you know, I'll see you eventually. You guys get out of here. If you guys win this, can you make sure to, like, lock up when you leave? I think I'm dying now. Later.
Peace. I think only X-Force is there. Like, they're at that state where they're just all like, you know what? My arm's broken. I'm going to die. I'll catch you back at base. Peace.
Well, yeah, even starting from the get-go, when Wolverine had, like, powers in house, Wolverine was like, I know I'll be resurrected, so fuck it. Like, I'm going to go out suicide mission style.
Yeah, I like that.
And then he rode that fucking giant head into the sun.
Yes, he did. But going back to the issue, we get Maxine and Manon kind of using their friend they just made to attack the leader, more or less. And he starts shooting at the leader. The leader kind of takes off. We cut back to Boom Boom outside, and she is... she's pretty much like, or the guy's just all like, you don't have your powers anymore. You're useless or something like that. And she's just all like, oh yeah. And then she just cracks him over the head with her foot. And she's just all like, I've been like an assassin since a kid, motherfucker. What are you going to do about it? I don't need my powers. motherfucker. She says, I eat low-level clowns like you for breakfast, which is, you know, not the most original line, but hey. It worked in the mouth.
As fuck. It's as if she's channeling her inner, like, fucking parody character.
But yeah, definitely get in. yeah, the more and more I look at it, and the more and more I'm getting these, like, this low-level, like, Kitty Pryde, this cheap knockoff Kitty Pryde.
Yeah.
But okay, it works. She takes care of that guy. Armor's kind of taking care of the other guy. And someone kind of pulls a gun on Armor. She kind of puts her guns up. And pretty much he's just like, you gotta die now. And right as he says that, Boom Boom just clocks him over the head with, what is that? What is it? Just some type of bar.
It's the anti-mutant, like, rocket launcher.
Oh, it's the bazooka.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which apparently, functions better as a blunt object than like a bazooka now, because they just carry it with them. That one chick pulled her gun when she was like 2 feet away, which made no sense. They walked up in the beginning when you go back like to the first part where the guy sends them out. You got fucking like baseball bats and shit, but they have guns drawn in like another panel. So it's like, I don't know what kind of weapons these people are wielding at any given time because they change. But why are the people with ranged weapons going in first? And the dude with the baseball bat bringing up the rear, like, it's just like, these guys have no tactics. So I feel like they're so bad at fighting. The drunk Boom Boom had no problem beating them.
It's like an old 90s Steam game where you have like 10 weapons, like a crowbar. You're just like, where are you carrying all of these? Where are these coming from?
It's like Streets of Rage or something up in this bit. God damn it. I'm going to throw a knife at you. It's got a one-time use.
Yes.
It's so weird. And it's a drawing. Like, how do you make such a weird, campy, like, drawn, like, fight scene? Like, how do you fuck that up? Like, you can bend the wills and, like, the realms of, like, physical limitations, yet you make a fight scene that looks like it was badly choreographed in, like, a 90s action movie.
Yeah.
Blows my mind. Wow.
It's frustrating.
Nebraska New Mutants, I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's on a different level entirely.
Yeah, Boom Boom mentions that she wished that there was more ammo, which means she tried to use it. She tried to use it.
But it's anti-mutant bazooka, so...
I think it can at least explode someone, though, right?
I don't know, like, so it's a secondary, it depowers you, but as like a main weapon, like a main...
It still looked like it threw people away, so it had force. So if you're at the impact of that, yeah, it could still explode you, I imagine.
Okay, well, I guess it's a better like weapon. It's dual purpose. First shot like turns off their powers. Second shot kills them. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's clever in some like small way, but it's still a ridiculous like fucking concept of a weapon. Especially since it didn't prove to be that effective at all.
No.
They'll be like, turning off their powers seemed to do nothing for these people, except like delay the plot.
Yeah, pretty much. But we, as that's happening, as this is kind of wrapping up outside, we get everyone from inside running out. Glob holding Beak, pretty bloody, black blood, kind of weird.
Yeah, it's like... super like spread super out dark.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah. But then I was like,
wait, SARS, man, watch out.
Okay, watch out, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Wear your mask and gloves.
No, bird flu.
They're running, they're like, let's get out of here. They go to the truck, right? They go to the before that, they're just all like, we get this moment with Angel, and she's just like, I'm up here.
Freaking the fuck out. It's like, you know he's going to be fine. They talked about this.
Yeah.
They're like shoehorning in like fucking drama and like urgency when you know. Like, they're trying to trick us as the reader. Either they're trying to trick us as the reader, or they don't know what they're writing about. They just don't know the background canon. They like subbed in like Briston stepped back, and when he was back for a second, like Rian Johnson popped in and was like, I got that.
Let's do this.
Your story. I'll finish subversion. It. I don't need to read the canon. I don't need to know the mythos. This is my project. Fuck. If I want to heighten drama in a world where death is irrelevant, I will put it.
it's ridiculous. We get Armor. She's just like, where's the Blackbird? Did you not bring the Blackbird? And Boom Boom's just like, what are you kidding? Drink and drive? Come on. I'm responsible. Hell no.
But he's just dying back there, and they're like fucking joking and like dropping like down. Yeah. I like it, but then the Armor, like the whole time, she's the straight laced character. Like, she's like the fucking like one that's just always the straight, plays it by the book, and it's just like,
she's like, very serious. Constantly.
They're trying to do like this is turning even more into like an 80s action like buddy cop movie. Where it's like Armor's like the by the book, and then Boom Boom's like the wild and crazy, like, okay. Oh my god, she's the Mel Gibson. Boom Boom's the Mel Gibson of the issue. What happened?
It's ridiculous. But yeah, she took Drive, which I assume is like Lyft or Uber. And they're just like, you took Drive all the way out here? And she's like, yeah, it took forever. I'm just as pissed as you are.
What a weird place to fit such a contemporary like pun and joke, if you will.
Right? But yeah, Beak's still dying. They get into the back of I guess these Costa Perdida people's car, and they're just all like, we gotta go. They hotwire that shit. Who's hot? Oh, it's Angel. Angel's hotwiring it. And we get Glob and Beak in the back of the car. Glob takes up so much space.
I like how Angel went from like freaking the fuck out about Beak dying to like, oh, why? Jumped right in and was just like, I like her fight or flight kicked in and she's like, we can get out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. It's so ridiculous. And poor Beak, he's got to hang out on Glob.
Right? Oh, you got to touch that wax.
Oh.
He's so but as they're about to bail, we get a huge bang, and they're just like, "Oh, yeah, let's go back to the house and check this out because you forgot your fucking parents."
Yeah, your parents. Holy
how
shit!
Did they forget the parents?
I mean, I'll give Boom Boom a pass because she just showed up, but Armor straight knew they were there.
Yeah. This is just tactically bad all around.
I like how just like inept she became. Like all of a sudden she's like, oh yeah, the parent. Oh fuck, we fucked up. Oh my bad. Yeah. And now the mom's dead. They drag the dad out, and the dad's like fucking like falling apart about the mom being murked. And the dude's like thinks he's so cool because he shot an old lady. He's like, hi, X-Men. I told you this would happen. Old people would die faster. Oh man, such a weird story.
Yeah. It's weird. Yeah, this guy pulls him out. And then Beak says, it's like, Karen, oh Karen, she's gone. Oh my god. And more or less he's just all like counts down. He's just all like, what is he looking for? He just wants to get out now.
Yeah, he wants to ride. He's like, I'm taking the vehicle.
Yeah, I'm taking the vehicle. Oh, we're getting out of here.
You fall, he's dead. The old
count of three type situation.
The typical like breakdown of like the trope of like when like the main protagonist or antagonist fucks up, and now he's like, all right, well, I'm gonna change my demands. Instead of wanting what I originally wanted, I'm just gonna leave. No one follow me, and we'll leave it at that. And it's like, well, we know this is never gonna work.
No,
it never does.
Not at all.
So it's not seeing it here.
Yeah. And we get Boom Boom just kind of like, this is the guy you're dealing with, more or less. Very cocky and confident. And then this is Angel kind of comes in and she's just like, we gotta get him to the hospital. Oh wow. I don't get what's happening. She's like super aggro and then super like, no, we can't, we gotta do this. And then she'll be like, we gotta go, let's do it, let's go now. It's weird.
Well, she puts it like in a weird perspective that kind of like shuts down the whole thing. Like she points out that like, if we give you the vehicle, Beak's going to die. If you don't get the vehicle, he's going to die. Either way, someone fucking dies and I don't give a shit. No one's going anywhere. So deal with it. And the dude's just like, fuck. I have zero leverage now, literally zero leverage. And that's pretty much when it just goes downhill from there. He's like, all right, well then fine. I don't need my leverage. And he marks the old dude right in front of all of them, just like point blank. Not much blood for that level of like caliber of a gun at that point, at that close of range. Like, I would assume there would be way more blood. He got a decent sprain on him, but like they didn't
get him.
He got a good amount, but they were like fucking untouched.
Oh yeah, no, nothing.
Should have been front seat at a Gallagher show for those three.
Oh yeah, yeah. There should be blood in them shoes.
Yeah, that dude doesn't have a head anymore. Like, they don't even show it. No. It's just gone.
Gone. Shoots the grandpa, shoots Charles.
Granddaddy B.
Yeah. And then he goes, once my government hears what happens here, several of their citizens killed by mutants. And then he just pauses, holds the gun to his head, and shoots himself. Boom.
Such a weird, like, fallback of, like, so we wanted to extort them, but we couldn't extort them, so we're going to turn it into, like, a crazy international incident. But it's an international incident involving people of, like, radically different, like, sovereignties in, like, a different nation. I mean, I don't know. I just seems like such a convoluted fallback plan for him where he's just like, haha, I got you. I have the last lap, mutants. I have thrown the domino that will bring down your entire nation. Because Costa Not Rica is a super popular place, if you remember. Like, I'm just saying, people are going to go to war. I mean, remember what happened with Sokovia?
Yeah.
This is so, like, it has no weight. This has no fucking weight. Like, I was just like, when he did that, I went, so what? Fuck your makeshift fucking, like, wannabe, like, drug cartel island. No one cares. The world is not going to bend to this.
Not at all.
And we find out even more about how little that dude really, truly matters on the packing order of the scale, which is Costa Rica.
Yeah. He's the lowest of the lowest of the low, which we find out next. But, yeah, let's talk about that right now. And actually,
The Bohemian Cartel?
Bohemian.
No, man.
Head Ezequiel Dangra, Miguel, and Julian?
Apparently, this is going to be the main foil for Armor and Boom Boom and Glob moving forward.
Sure, I guess.
I mean, if we're playing world building here, I feel like that's what they're trying to put forward. But do we care?
At all?
It's hard because, like, all these characters, like, they seem like they're trying to outline them, like they're going to be important with their individual names. But it almost feels like they're going to be a dime a dozen, and they're all going to be wiped off the board in such a way that we will forget even who they were individually. Like, I assume, like, when I saw the guy's name and I was like, Tamula, all right, that was the guy they killed. But even looking at his name, I was just like, who is that? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's the guy who just shot himself. Duh, he's important, I guess. Oh, it's so bizarre.
It's weird. I don't know. So we get a Ezequiel Dangra, El Rey, head of the Bohemian Cartel, and he has two lieutenants, El Rojo and El Armario. And then just drones underneath him. Tamulo, the person who just died, being one of the drones, pretty much. And again, yeah, lowest of the low on the totem pole.
He didn't even get a name.
Drones. Yeah.
He didn't even get, like, a full name. No. They just did no real name. He just codenamed.
Yep. Yeah, everyone has, like, El Naranja. All, like, colors.
Is it, like, equivalent of, like, a Star Trek red shirt in, like, cartel, like, lingo? He's just, like, he was meant to be killed off. It's so bizarre.
I guess he's really high up there. If there's, it says that there's 40,000 members of the Bohemian Cartel, if that's the case.
Is it 40,000 members, or is there just 40,000 people on their mailing list? Let's be real.
It's just, yeah, 40,000 people under them doing something in some way, shape, or form. Not necessarily some type of drone or goon or war.
They're kind of drug mules and prostitutes and labor. Yeah. And so
forth. Exactly.
The villages they've subjugated. Those are our members. They're with us, right? They wouldn't turn on us, right?
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I guess they're just... All I get from this is we sell methamphetamines and your medicine is awesome and it, and we hate you for that. That's all I get from this.
It's like they wanted to create a super generic, like, South American drug cartel.
Yeah.
They wanted to put them against the backdrop of a super generic late 80s, early 90s, like, action movie. and that they literally just did all that by a book, by the book, and it just, it felt really bad for an X-Men storyline that kind of shares the spotlight with this crazy happening on the other side of the universe.
Right.
So weird. I feel like it's like that Rick and Morty episode just came out. I feel like the universes are like bleeding into each other. Like for a moment, for a moment, Danny Moonstar had like a dream where she was in Nebraska, and then she wakes up. She's like, "Oh my god, that was bad." Beak was there, and Glob.
It was a nightmare.
And Boom Boom showed up, but she thought she was Kitty Pryde. It was so backward.
So weird. Don't do that. Don't do that, Boom Boom. This is not your issue.
Question is, will they go full circle, and in 10 years from now, when they're still writing, for some reason, bizarre X-Men comics, are they going to retread the Boheme Cartel? Or is the Boheme Cartel going to bleed into other Marvel properties? Is the Avengers going to have to take down the Boheme
Cartel? Someone reading right now is going to be like a huge Boheme Cartel fan growing up, and he's going to become a writer, and he's going to be like, you know that Boheme Cartel and X-Men? I'm going to bring it back.
Listen, that cartel you created that was completely a ripoff of all those cartels in the 80s. That shit was genius. I would have never been a writer if it wasn't for you. You showed me I could lean on tropes to get through my writing. You made me believe.
Let's go back to the issue. We cut back to the truck. There's someone left. Fucking, they're still here. I don't know why they haven't left yet. They need to be gone. They need to be gone one page ago. They took a whole another page to leave, and there's really nothing to get out of it, pretty much. It's just like, Grandpa's dead. No, what happened to Grandpa? Is he okay? No, Grandpa's not okay anymore.
What are we going to do about him? I don't know. Should we sit here and talk about it as your father bleeds out, like, 5 feet away from us? No? All right, let's leave. Okay, we're going.
And then we get one of the little kids is going like, is daddy going to be okay? If I was an angel, to be like, are any of you okay? Look at you. Look at your face. You're an abomination.
Were we okay before?
Yeah.
What is okay to you kids? I need to have a real life philosophical debate with you children. Yeah, what do you imagine okay as? We live in Nebraska, goddamn it.
In Nebraska. God, I came from South America and I'm in Nebraska. Ridiculous. And then we get this, we cut to, they take off pretty much, finally.
Which is accented by, I love sometimes when they make these weird comic book sound effects that don't really fit, like, wrong. What is wrong?
Yeah. I guess this is the engine accelerating.
Kinda, like, it's funny. They're like driving on top of it, like it's like some sort of like Schoolhouse Rock episode. Yeah. Oh man. But then you get that full panel shot.
You get this full panel, which is like a mission complete, but like mission failed at the same time.
Type of vibe. Them trying to do like a Christian rock album cover.
Krishna Rag, yeah, they're not looking at the camera. No one's looking at the camera right now. Glob is just releasing all this energy.
They're doing their best to not look directly at the camera. They're just too cool.
Yeah, time to put out their Christian rock band album.
Hey, they're playing in Nebraska, man. You know, they got to play their constituents.
I dig the art though. Art's good. Everyone's sad.
It does depict good chaos. I like the body strewn everywhere, the burning like.
We win. does this count as a win? That's what I get. That's what I call this page. Does this count as a win? Question mark.
Did we take the W today?
I argue. No, they did not.
Yeah, I really would have said like what went down was worse than what they proposed to do. They came there under the guise of like trying to offer them something better, something a more joyous life, and they ended up bringing a lot of sadness with them. So I don't know if them being there could have averted this. Like maybe things would have been a little smoother. I don't really know.
Right.
But in the end, a lot of people still died. So. I wouldn't call it a win, especially since they healed the grandfather and then the grandfather died, so thus negating any good accomplishments they actually did do. Anything they could point to and be like, well, we did this. Nope, now that's gone. Nope. It's like, you literally did nothing. And
our purpose here was pointless.
Yeah.
It kind of feels. And that's frustrating. That's frustrating. But we go to Doc's Nebraska Nightmare.
Which right off the bat, how did they get that image?
Right? How did you get that? How did you get that picture?
It's like 5 feet away from armor, taking a picture, and they're not seeing it. Like, were the paparazzi, like, camping outside of Beak's house?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh. But it's just a news article kind of, like, speculating what went down during this whole situation. More or less. There's a part in the news article where it says, like, there's a link, and I tried to click the link.
You did, too? I did as well. Yeah. I did as well. Yeah. I was like, oh, right. Part of me thought maybe that there was an embedded file. Maybe. Like, I don't know. I was just hoping.
I was hoping, too. It was so bad.
They colored it so well.
Yeah.
I would have tripped. I would have been like, oh, my God, they hit it in, like, a secret link in the issue. I expected too much out of this issue.
But yeah, there's nothing to get out of this. More or less, it's just kind of summing up the incidents that went down.
It's like they took some like really generic bullshit. This almost feels like a chat room article written by someone pretending to be someone. Like, it feels like the narrative that they're putting forward is someone posing as someone who would almost agree with this. Like, it's almost such fake narrative that you almost feel like the person who wrote it in no way, in shape, form believes any of it. So it was just really, really weird. Like, this is the kind of stuff that even Alex Jones would be like, nah, I don't know about that. Like, it was just so funny. They just took every little bit of misinformation and like amped it up, where they were just like, well, there was only supposed to be two mutants living there, but the compound contained like nine. There were like five humans found dead afterwards. Altercation on farm? ? Possibly mutant compound? Sex cult? ? It's like all this dumb shit. It didn't even like feel organic in a way where you're just like, okay, I could see someone like spinning this as a conspiracy. It almost feels like someone a part of like the Sapien network or the Viridius. Humidae? Or what was it? The organization of like the peacocks? Hominis Mirandi. Okay. So like they almost put out like this article. Like, it seems like it's a part of their kind of tactic. That's what I think might be revealed, because like this is just so badly written that it just kind of annoyed the shit out of me. I'm like, damn it. This just seems dumb. But, you know, hey, they're trying to build, like, a narrative about, like, how there's all this false information about the mutants out there. And I get it, society has that issue as well, but, like, this kind of way of portraying it is almost hoaxy.
It's just that guy on Twitter that's just all, like, that social justice warrior that's just like, this is my moment, my truth to shine. I'm going to do it. I'm going to start my media empire. I'm going to call it the seal. I'm going to call it the seal. And it's going to not have any spin, but somehow it's going to attract all the alt-right people.
There you go. They're going to dig down that trench just to win that gold. Yeah, because this thing was rough reading it. It felt like it was like a narrative being written by someone who's pretending to be a person who doesn't even know how that person really thinks.
Yeah, it could just be bad writing. We could just be reading into this way too much. And,
well, I think that lays the problem is that the bad writing.
Like, what does a journalist do? How do they talk? I know. I'll just go pull copy paste a tweet.
Yeah, it almost looks like this narrative was built off of like someone trying to pose as a different person, like trying to spread flames from that group narrative. Yeah. Which is still funny because, like, all right, if it does end up being the Hominis Mirandi, then okay, I guess that works. But those people fucking are lazy. Yeah. They go to all this lengths with Domino. The least they could do is, like, start spreading, like, credible, like, conspiracies. Like the whole time reading this, I was like thinking, I was like, oh, you could have gone so many ways with this.
You could have spun it. Yeah, you could have spun it really cool.
It could have went like fucking like, you know, fucking Jonestown or like a Church Jim Jones or whatever those people were. Or like any that they could have went with that. Like, because this was perfect to that vibe. But they did it so lazily that it lost any of that cachet. So
unfortunate. But we cut back to Krakoa, the Healing Gardens, 4 days later. And we get Angel, we get the fam. Fam is hanging out, flying around, having a good time. Everyone's having a good time. Angel kind of walks up and is asked, are you okay? And and she's like, yeah, I'll be cool. Getting shot sucks, but I'll be good. And he's just like, and then this is when Beak's like, I'm just glad no one else got hurt. And this is when Glob's just like, put your parents. What about your parents? It's kind of weird. It sounds like he just shouts it out right here. It's like, well, what about your parents? They just died horribly in a gruesome death. You know what I'm talking about? That thing that just happened?
Which is funny because it's accented by the image of his like skeletal form, which looks like super excited, but his eyes are like super judgy because they're floating adjacent to it. So it's like, I read two emotions from those types of visuals. Like the skeleton looks like the excited part where it looks like he's shouting it, where the eyes look like more inquisitive. But it totally still reads like he's shouting at him like 5 feet away, just like, something has to be done about your parents, Marty.
Yeah. And this is when Beak is just all like, I don't know what you're talking about. My parents passed away years ago. What are you talking about? You are tripping. And this is when Armor kind of gets what's going on, more or less. So she kind of gets at least Glob and her to make their exit. And he's just all like, oh, well, I'm glad you're feeling good. Gotta go. Let's do it. Come on, Glob.
I'm glad everyone's alive. See you guys later.
Gotta go. And she kind of pulls Glob out. And as she pulls Glob out, she just kind of mutters, those little brats. And that's when we cut to Maxine and Manon just hanging out by the tree. This is when Armor kind of yells at them. And before they even say anything, the first thing Manon says is, did you see Beak? So they know that she knows. They're like, we know what's up.
They're giddy about it. They're like, we helped again, right? We're not supposed to damage children, but
we do good.
It's such a weird tone. Ever since that first shot was fired, from then on, there's just been such a weird tone in this issue.
Indeed. So they're just pretty much like, you know, he was feeling better, more or less, when we erased his memories. This is when we get like Armor just like, this is a violation of mutant rights. You shouldn't have done this. People should grieve on their own, all that jazz, you know, about growth and whatnot.
Exactly.
And they're just like, we're just trying to help.
Doing our best. Quit yelling at us.
I don't know if they're genuine or if they're being manipulative.
I almost feel like their naivete, like their childlike naivete, is what is really on display here.
Yeah,
it's like with their great power is not really being gauged well by their maturity.
Right.
I like it. I like how Glob like chimes in the background. He's like, Professor's gonna find out. He gonna know. He know what you did. Professor always finds out.
Professor always finds out. He's gonna find out.
He's got fucked up now. He said that 101. You don't mess with people's brain. It's like, Glob, what fucking gonna rat us out, aren't you?
Yeah. Let's see. And then so she's just like, well, crap. Well, I guess you did it. So it's weird because she's just like, well, you did it. So let's not tell anyone, I guess.
She has a very weird what did we learn moment with the children that is like so fucking dark when you think about it in the bigger perspective, especially since they follow it with that family image of like all of like the Beak family like holding each other and happy. It's just like, what did we learn today? Not to tamper with people's lives. Yes. Cut to Beak and just being like, oh man, I'm so happy about my life and my family. Weird thing about my parents, though. What's that dude talking about?
Right? That's weird. Why was he talking about my parents?
I'm over that shit.
Yeah, that was so long ago. I grieved. This is cool.
Yeah, it's all right, man. Things happen. They both peacefully died in their sleep, and we're leaving it at that.
Yeah, pretty dark.
Yeah. What an asshole bringing up my grandparents like that.
Right? But yeah, that is the where we kind of leave off for this issue and this arc of New Mutants. Danny, what did you think of this issue?
I don't even know what this issue thought of itself. Like,
I know, had an identity crisis like crazy.
Oh yeah, it felt like at the end there, it wanted to try to add a tone of seriousness because then they've been fronting on a tone of seriousness the whole time. I think at one point they realized that they're like, oh, you know, this whole seriousness of life and death for the mutants doesn't matter. There's nothing heavy-handed we could do with it. We've been trying the whole time. Let's just go completely a different way with it, and let's find a way to be heavy-handed and serious really quick at the end and force it on and be like, oh, look at these lasting things now. Look at what may come up later on with Beak. Probably won't, but it might. And you're like, no, why? I don't want it to. I want it to be over. And they're like, oh, by the way, the cartel's still going too, so maybe that's going to come up. And you're like, I don't care about them. They're like one of the – so there's going to be constant like issues of them showing up, shooting their anti-mutant rockets, the X-Men beating them with like boards, and then people move on. And I'm like, okay, where are we going to build from that? Like, where are we going to get a story that's meaningful and impactful for the X-Men mythos and any of the characters? Because the only characters that were developed even in the whole series – where Maxine and Manon, and really they barely were developed. Like they were, they got as much development in this arc that a kid would have got watching an episode of fucking Blue's Clues, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this shit is out of control. They don't have any like actual foundation for the other characters to step off from and move forward. Cause like I said, armor's the same. Boom Boom really didn't change much from being, you know, Kitty's understudy. Glob was still Glob the whole time. He didn't develop any at all either. I mean, you could say Beak and Angel got development, but their development was immediately overwritten, so it didn't kind of matter.
Yeah, they rewrote it, so who cares?
Yeah, they got a hard reset on them, so... Yeah, in the end, like, there was no payoff in this. There's nothing where I was like, oh man, this is such a cool, like thing that they built on in the future.
They could have gave him a moment where, like, Beak was just like, my parents are dead. It's time to go to Krakoa. Pack the bags, kids. We're moving to Krakoa. Or something like that. Like, give him agency to be like, yo, my parents are dead now. We have to fight for the mutant race. Let's get out of here. Fuck Nebraska. It's Krakoa all the way.
Or maybe what if they went full end with it, where like maybe say for example, Beak realizes that there is a pocket of mutants that don't want to live on Krakoa, but they will be left alone to fend for themselves.
Yeah, because they stay in those locations.
They could create like they do create that kind of community, that kind of almost like commune that people start twisting as being like kind of like a Church of Jim Jones kind of shit. Like, what if that did spur out of this? Like, that would have been way more interesting than what actually happened. Yeah, because then that would create a plot that later on they could tug on that would feel organic and be real good. But now it's like, I just want it to all be done and we never reference it again. Like, now I know Beak's going to show up at some point, and that's not something I want to be waiting for.
And he seems like they're setting him up to, like, be there in a way where he's going to show an exploit in what's going on in Krakoa, almost.
Yeah, like a big flaw in the system. Remember you and I joked about like how like I was hoping that later on there would be a future X-Men team that's just made up of like Beak and Angel's children.
Oh, no.
Like, that's the A-team of X-Men. So many X-Men. Why? Like, this is what they've fallen to.
Shut down the podcast now if that happens. We're too good. We gotta stop. Children.
The Beak kids.
We gotta stop the machine.
The Beak kids. Okay.
We can't come up with ideas anymore.
Oh, man. We've written ourselves into a corner that we don't want to come back from. Why should we? Yeah. This is our bed. We made it. We're sleeping. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it wasn't... It was weirdly did the tonally shifted throughout the entire issue.
Yeah, and it was a hard tonal shift compared to the other issues that actually had the Nebraska backstory.
Overall, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying that which was a weird take on this, because if they were going to have this kind of dark tone, they should have led with it instead of closed with it.
Yeah. Because it was kind of lighthearted throughout. We get the, like, Manum going, like, friends. Yeah, we're making friends now, I learned. We're not going to make you shoot us.
Beak is a main character. Like, it has to be lighthearted. If it wasn't, what made it feel compassionate? They tried to make you care about Beak. They're even trying here to make you excited about his possible return. And I'm like, no. There's so many better X-Men.
At him. Look at how he looks. I'm never going to get excited about something like this.
Hold back.
Do you understand how weak and, like, the chickens are, like, weak? Like, why would you, like, anthropomorphize anything looking like that and expect me to go, that's the hero?
There are way better birds you could have picked from.
Exactly. Birds of prey, man. Any type of birds of prey. Something like that. Why are you picking a bird that I currently am defrosting? You know? Am I being poultryist?
You might be. There might be some, bipedal anthropomorphic chicken people out there that might disagree with you, but I highly doubt they listen.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you didn't show up in my demographics when I looked at the analytics, so I think we're okay.
It's true.
I think we are okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't get it. I never got it. I don't continue to not get it. Maxine Manum is cool, but again, it's just a side note. Barely there. I did like the moment with the glob where he's just all like, nah, man, you don't kill him. You do something like this. You kind of incapacitate him and you make him our friends. And he's just like, and passed out.
Done and done.
Yeah, so that was good. That was a good moment. We get Angel doing some vomit. That's just the walk in on that. Like the guy, the leader, what's his name? Tamul. He was just kind of walking in the house and he's just like, hey guys, what are you? Gross.
You said the dude's being like, mine overwritten. That other guy's writhing in pain. Fucking Beak's in the background bleeding out on the floor while Bob tries to comfort him. He's just stay out of the light, man. That was a cool panel. That was a really cool panel.
That
and like the part before it, like when Beak got shot, like all that stuff was like the highlight of the issue. But in the end, that was really lacking. Like they needed to have more of a pacing of that kind of response and that kind of comedy, and stuck to it because like the level of darkness that followed afterwards just kind of really took away from it. And using Boom Boom in such like a kind of a comedic and like kind of nihilistic way doesn't play well when you're trying to combo it with like emotional urgency where you're like, oh, what
are you going for? We get the nihilism of Boom Boom. We got like the whole family drama happening.
Dad's getting murdered. They're trying to make you care about Beak, but even though Beak can be resurrected, so it's like really confusing already. Yeah, he's like that. And it's like, I know, but I'm reading Dawn of X, so I know that this isn't relevant. I mean, I'm not going to jump into the series at New Mutants issue 6. Like,
he's going to die. Get in line.
Oh, shit. So Beak might die in this? Oh, man. Oh, thank God I went back and read that issue. Because, boy, would I have been shocked if I didn't know that he'd just get resurrected instantly and have no consequence.
Yeah, that's frustrating. That's frustrating.
He's one good asset. So he could die. Like, Beak is a character that you pity, and he's sad, and when he dies, you're like, oh, that sucks. Yeah. But now they've taken that away, so he does nothing. He's got nothing going for him. From a writing standpoint, Beak is literally dead character.
God, I don't get it. I don't get the appeal of it. Anytime people procreate like that, just like the new Star Wars, where you make me think about Palpatine procreating. I'm just like, you're making me think about this way too much. Yeah. Now, when I think about this, stop it. Stop. How do you do it, man?
Was it one of his clones?
No. Like, yeah.
Who knows?
Situation Beak, what's going on? Like, how does this work? Like, just attraction-wise, what makes you want to fall in love with something like this?
I came up with the idea that maybe, like, Brisson is, like, being, like, trial by fire, like, through bad characters by Hickman. Like, Hickman's like, write me a good story with Beak. If you could do that, then I'll give you better character.
I can see that. I can see that.
Next person steps up. He's like, all right, we're trying this again. Write me a good story with Beak. He's going to keep throwing them at people until we get a good
story. Oh, my God, no. This is Beak experiment in half of New Mutants. Well, how's New Mutants going? You know, half of it is great. We get this awesome Space Fang adventure. What about the other half? Hickman's doing this weird experiment with Beak. It's like not even like the same like weird, bizarre experiment. It's like different every time. I don't get it. New writer, new artist, everything.
Yeah. They're in Sokovia this week, apparently dealing with another drug cartel.
So what did we learn?
I wish I could say, but it's only reaffirmed a lot of my opinions that I already had for a lot of these characters and a lot of this story. It really was unfortunate.
It really was. And that saddens me.
Yeah.
It saddens me. And it's like weird because half of it's great. Half of New Mutants is great. But then we get this. Yeah. And I don't know what's happening. I don't know how it's going to play out moving forward.
Exactly. It's like New Mutants doesn't have a good backdrop when it's out of like the typical X-Men foil like locations. And just X-Men in general. Nebraska does not work as a good backdrop for X-Men. I don't care if there's someone who loves Nebraska as a backdrop for like painting or whatever, but if you're doing an X-Men issue,
No. It's not something I want to read or look at.
Wheat. Lots and lots of wheat.
We get it. Any last thoughts at all on this? God, because it's unfortunate.
We cannot have last thoughts because they're going to bring it back. We know in two ways they're going to bring it back. And that's why my final thought is that I wish I had an actual final thought that would end this.
On a positive note, we go back to space next week.
Yeah. And stay there for a while.
And we stay there for some time.
Up to the current issues. Issue 9 is still, they're still spacing it out. Well, so they're on their way back, but they're dealing with the fallout of like their space adventures and the King Egg and all that stuff. So see, that's how you build up stuff and leave you people like on a good cliffhanger and like a good type of development. Because then you're like, oh, I want to know more. What's going on with the King Egg? Instead, they're like, hey, do you want to know what's going to maybe happen with Beak later on? And I'm like, no. Why would you ever think that?
Right. But yeah, so that should be fun. Later on, we'll see how that goes. But that'll do it for us this week, folks. Next week, we will be talking about X-Force issue number 6. That should be fun and exciting. But until then, I am Kyle. I'm with Danny. Don't forget, the robots are going to kill you. So, you know, go to Wayfair and get some awesome furniture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Might as get well some awesome furniture. Live like nice and comfortable inside while you still are alive.
Yeah. Oh man, when they were talking about how like the drug cartels had killed like 1,500 people, and I was like, a year or something like that. I was like, oh come on, COVID's got that in 2 months. Like, get out.
2 months. Come on, get out of here.
The Titan organic virus is doing that hourly. Like, get your cartels suck. Exactly. They don't know how to kill people efficiently.
Exactly. See you next week.